Well, good morning, everyone. How are you all? Good to see all those that have traveled all the way from Kenya. Welcome back. how's everyone going? It's good to see you all. Very good to see you all. John, how are you? You good? Yeah, Jen? You well? Good. Just checking that. Dennis? Dennis is there at the back. All right. Look, I think that I just want to say welcome to everybody that, if you're a visitor here, welcome to C3 Kwinana. It's a great place to be on a Sunday morning. I want to thank everybody that calls this home. We thank you. Is it just me? Everywhere I'm going today, I'm sort of like hearing myself twice. Is it? Am I echoing? No, it's just me. Okay. Lord help me, you know. I said the exact same thing in Fremantle this morning. And so the theme that we have for 2024, this is a great day where we're just going to unpack what we believe the Lord is saying to us as C3 Kwinana. And that is that God wants us to emerge. And to emerge is to become known or develop as a result of something. To emerge is to move out or away from something and become visible. Because what sometimes happens in our lives is that we hide in the dark. We hide behind frustration. We hide behind so many excuses as to why we cannot break forth and become the person that God wants us to be. God doesn't want you and I to be copycats of other people. He wants us to be as unique as we have come, that there is only one of you. Even though there's 7 billion people in the world, maybe we're at 8, I don't know, but I think it's 8. We're 8 billion. But there's only one of you. And that should tell you something, that God does not want you to copy your life or pretend to be somebody else. He just wants you to be yourself. And he wants you to bring that uniqueness that he has made you. Because I believe that God, there are people that God has called you as an individual to. People that I will never interact with. But these are people that you will interact with. And it's up to you to then say, Lord, I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of hiding behind the excuses that I'm scared, that I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. But Lord, there is more. I know that there is more for my life. There's more that you want to do for me. And this is what emerging is saying, let us move away from the things that we hide behind and become the people that God wants us to become. I recall going to, and I'll say this, you know, I hope you don't take it the wrong way, that I don't like going to cemeteries. And so I don't, even though I go back to Zimbabwe, I never go and visit my parents' gravesite. I think I've only been to my mother's once. That was last year. And she died 21 years ago. But I remember going to, for some reason, I said, I want to go to my father's grave. And so it's a family lot, and I saw my father and all his brothers. And I was there, and I thought to myself, man, how many businesses were not started? How many, perhaps, houses were not built? How many songs were not written? They were not musical, but it's a theme here. How many of those things died with those people? And as I looked around, this is a vast cemetery. I wondered to myself, this cemetery, and others have said this, that it's full of ideas, of things that were never started, of things that were thought of, but there was always something that stopped that thing from happening. And I believe that God is saying to us that we need to get from behind the things that hold us back so that we can move and emerge into everything that God has called you to be. Because guess what? There are people that are dependent on you. Now, that is a hard thing to accept, that there are people that are dependent on you. And if you don't rise up to be everything that God has called you to be, What's going to happen to those people? And so it's about all of us being gripped by the love of God and saying, Lord, I am going to hide no longer. I am going to come forth and emerge into the man, into the boy, into the man, into the girl, into the woman that you want me to be, that you have purposed from the beginning that you want me to be. One of our highlights, like I said 2 weeks ago when I spoke, was going to a safari. We went on a game drive, and you know, we were lucky enough to see, we saw, you know, all the animals. We saw a lion, a lioness and its four cubs, which is very rare to see. And that was special. And we were following it around for about 30 minutes, you know, just, and all the other cars were coming around and everybody was checking it out. So it was a really nice spectacle. Giraffe, we saw a big giraffe by itself, elephants, male lions, monkeys. But the thing, like I said a few weeks ago, that really struck for me was the dung beetle. And we're just going to play a video, if it's available, of just the, this is us, there it is. I want you to just pay attention to all its movements. Meticulously made, designed to be able to succeed in its life. That's just, it didn't have to think about it. It was programmed somehow that this is what you have to do. You know, dung beetles, as you can see by the very name, are beetles that feed on feces. They love dung. You know, they just, you know, they roll around it, they carry it, that's what they do. So many dung beetles some are known as rollers. They roll the dung into round balls, which are used as a food source or breeding chambers. And then they have their eggs in there, lay the other little dung beetles, and so on and so forth. Others are tunnelers, and then there's a third group known as dwellers. God designed the way it was made was so that it was able to shovel. If you saw the head, it was able to shovel sand out of the way so they can continue the momentum of rolling that dung down the road together with its, maybe that was its wife, they're there rolling the dung down the road. And so it was made to succeed. I wonder, human beings are the only species that struggle with this thing of identity and purpose and what they're here for. And I asked myself, and I remember that night, because we were 15 of us that went to this holiday thing. And I said at the dinner at night, tell me, what is your highlight? And everybody was telling them of their highlight and all that. And I said, for me, it was this. Because I asked myself, if God made this thing to be able to succeed and do what it needed to do, what is stopping me from becoming the person that God has purposed for me to become? And I wondered, what voices have I allowed myself to listen to? Or what voices am I listening to? What is my inner dialogue? And some of the things that stop us from emerging and becoming all that we desire or all that we feel we're called to be. Because I know that there is a yearning that's on the inside of all of us that, you know what, I might be 10 years old, 12 years old. There is a yearning for significance in all of us that we want to make a difference. That is why you wouldn't be surprised if you hear a 10-year-old saying, and I recall a friend saying, she was asking her niece, what do you want to become? And she says, I want to be a YouTube star. That is a profession nowadays, you know. Yeah. But you know what? What they're basically saying is that I want to be significant. There is a significance that we have this thing where I just want my life to count. It has to mean something. But what stops us from emerging and becoming all that we feel called or all that we desire to be? Self-doubt. We doubt our own abilities, our own worthiness. And this becomes a barrier to pursuing our goals or fulfilling one's purpose. And because we doubt ourselves, we'll be like, there's no need to get another speaker. There's already 3 speakers in church. They don't need another one. And so you count yourself out. The fear of failure. What if I get up and I do a bad job? And you know what fear of failure does? It paralyzes. It paralyzes individuals and prevents us from taking risks. And therefore, we're not able to step out of our comfort zones because we're scared that, if I get up and if I speak, I might stumble on my words, and then everybody's going to laugh at me. And the truth is that they will laugh. And then? Yeah, they'll laugh, and then they forget about it. If you get up here and you do something, if you get up the first time and you're bad, we're not going to judge you. But if you get up the 1,000th time and you're bad, well, we'll tell you to sit down. Negative influences, discouraging comments or unsupportive relationships hinder. They stop us from pushing through. We always give excuses that I will only do something when something happens. And so all we do is that we prolong the day of destiny, the day that we encounter destiny and the day that we encounter purpose, because all we're doing is that we keep moving the finish line. I'll do tomorrow, and I'll maybe when I save. I'll only start giving when I save, when I've got X amount of dollars. Then I'll start to do it. So we are constantly giving reasons as to why we cannot do things. Past trauma or experiences. And you know what? These are real issues. Even though I'm saying these things, I don't want you to feel bad. But these are real issues that we all tend to hide behind. Sorry. Today's not a good day for the mic. All right. Okay. Andrew? All right. And so this trauma can create psychological barriers that hinder our growth. Frustration, because maybe many years ago you heard the voice of the Lord, people spoke into your life that something, you are going to do something significant. And guess what? You've been waiting all these years and you've grown tired. And the problem with frustration is that you then become cynical. Is it me, Andrew? Oh. Okay, thank you. Because he's looking kind of strange at the back there, and so I'm thinking there's something going on with the microphone. So guess what happens with the trauma? It stops us. Again, it's real. It has happened in our lives. And the problem is that we hide behind it. We hide behind the trauma. And that gives us a reason for not being able to do something. These are the dialogue. These are the questions. These are the conversations that are happening on the inside of us. Oh, because my mother dropped me when I was a baby. Yeah, my mother dropped me when I was a baby. So that's the reason why. Now, perhaps she did drop you. It was a mistake. Because I was the third child, I was the middle child. The first one got all the love, all the attention, and the last one got the same. The middle one was just like, okay, welcome. But the excitement was already given to the first one. So you only get the leftovers. Then the baby gets everything. And so you think, because my parents never told me that they loved me enough, I can't do it. But these are all things that we all hide behind. Then, of course, we've got just pure procrastination and laziness. It prevents us from taking the necessary steps towards our goals. It's a big one, comparison and envy. We compare ourselves to somebody else, you know. And I heard this said very well by, it was John Maxwell, who says, I have got up and I have spoken. And so sometimes what we do is that we compare ourselves against somebody else's strength. And you are never going to win. Somebody who speaks for a living and you cannot be the same, because you are always going to see them at their best. If you see them at speaking engagement 5,000, they are really, really good. But they've had 5,000 opportunities to get to be good. If you see them at 5,000 and they're bad, that won't be good. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Paul and Timothy had been saved and were given a calling to serve others in ministry. And so our salvation is not based on our great deeds, but only by the power of God. And so the same is true of a calling to serve others in ministry. And please, when we talk of ministry here, let us make sure that we give it a broad definition. It is not just in church. It is the ministry that you have at your job. It is the ministry that you have in your family. That is the ministry, even as a business. Some people are, you know, God has gifted them to do business. That's the gifting. That's the ministry. It's when you are there, that's when you are doing the work of the ministry. It is God's purpose and grace which can be found behind the calling of every person. Others have been called, yes, to serve in church and all that. Others have been called to go into the schools. Others have been called to go into the workplace. And so you've got to recognize that this is the ministry that the Lord has given me. And therefore my job becomes, what is my purpose, Lord, wherever I go? Because I'm supposed to take this Holy Spirit of yours everywhere that I go. The work that you do when you go is not based on our performance. It is based on a divine calling of God, you know, because each of us is called out for purpose. In Judges, the book of Judges chapter 6, it comes at a time when Israel is facing a lot of opposition from the Midianites. And so the country is under siege, because each time they harvest their crops, the Midianites come in their hordes to come and attack them. And so the nation is fearful. And in Judges 6, it's crying out to the Lord to say, could you please come and save us? And then God begins the process to want to say, to bring somebody to lead them to fight against the Midianites. And so we come to this point where the angel of the Lord appears to a man named Gideon. And so it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then Gideon replied, but pardon me, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Gideon is frustrated when he hears this commendation that you're a mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. He's saying, what? The Lord is with me? How come all these things have happened in my life, in our lives, and we've heard that God does things, but he's not doing things in our lives? What is going on? I want you, just like Gideon was, we are probably the same when God approaches us and says, I want you to start a business. I want you to reach out to the person next door. I want you to cook that meal and sell it because you've got a special recipe from 4 or 5 generations ago. And the first thing we start telling him is that, oh, Lord, I can't do it, you know. You know, Lord, that my mother dropped me when I was a baby. And so, I don't know, Lord, I can't do it. And, you know, my daddy shouted at me. And so we give all these reasons as to why we cannot be the person that God has called us to be. Remember that the words that were said is that he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He was calling out the purpose of Gideon, that you are a mighty man of valor. Now, he didn't feel that way at the time when God said all that to him. He felt weak. He felt defeated. In no way did he feel like he was a mighty warrior. But understand this, that God calls the purpose out of us. And I want you to listen to the Lord's love and patience when he allows Gideon to say all these things. God says nothing, but allows him to vent his frustrations. And you know, God probably heard the same thing when he said to Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses started to give a litany of excuses. Oh, I can't speak. I can't do this. Just like Gideon was started to say, as you read further in Judges 6, that I come from a very small family and we are nothing and all of that. Just excuse after excuse after excuse. But the Lord is patient. The Lord doesn't mind if you're like that. Gideon will respond to his call from God with hesitation and skepticism. God wants him to emerge from the hiding place that he is to become a leader of people. And his response to that, he was hesitant and he was skeptical. But what I like about God, you see, is that even whilst he was complaining, God was basically saying that, I want you to fix the problem. And this is where the good thing about us being different from each other is. There's things that you see that somebody else cannot see. There are things that you feel that somebody else will not feel. There are some of you who are great cooks, and there are some of you who are not so great cooks. There are some of you who are, I will gladly admit, I am no good with my hands. You know, to fix an iron, I just straight away and buy a new one. Now, I used to feel, or they made me, society made me want to feel less of a man because I couldn't fix stuff. But I said, well, that's not how I was wired. I can't do it. So big deal. So he said, you know, I don't care. And so there are things that you see that somebody else doesn't see. Why? Because of your wiring, the way God made you. And because he made you that way, you see other things. And God is saying, now I want you. The fact that you see it, you do something about it. It's not for anybody else. You do something about it. And then statement, God makes a statement after all that Gideon has said. He says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? This statement carries profound implications as we look to emerge into all that God is calling you, your family, and our church to be. Basically saying, focus on your strengths, not on your weaknesses. Utilize the strengths that you have been given. It is a call to action because he's saying that you've got the responsibility to address challenges or injustices in the world. Someone can pass over a person in the street and, you know, for them it's not a big deal. But for another person, their heart just goes out in compassion. Now, the one that didn't do it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with them. But it's just that we see things differently. We are wired differently. Therefore, we act on our own convictions and our own wiring. That is what you're going to be judged for. Did you act? Did you give the respect when it was supposed to be given? We've been given a divine commission for all of us because God has entrusted it to you as an individual. I am sending you. He's calling individuals to specific tasks or missions. You have an assignment. Can everybody say after me, I have an assignment?
I have an assignment.
Now your job is to find out what is my assignment. For all the school teachers out there that love to give out homework. You know, what is my assignment? There is a specific calling. There is a specific thing, even as a young person, that God is asking you to do. Are you going to? The question is always going to be, are you going to do it? Gideon was given three tasks by the angel of the Lord. He was to destroy his father's altar to Baal and tear down the Asherah pole beside it. He had to take the bull of his father's herd to accomplish this task and build an altar to the God of Israel. You know, God does not, he wants full devotion and surrender. If you are going to be everything that God has purposed for you to be, the starting point is going to have to be building an altar. Whether it's an altar of prayer, an altar of worship. Because God wants you first before you do anything for him. And so Gideon, as you read in Judges 6, went and tore down the altar. You have to understand that the altar is the place of exchange. I exchange at the cross. The cross is an altar because I exchange my life for Jesus' life. This is the altar is the place where I exchange my will for God's will. Where I say, Lord, let your will be done, not my will. This is why Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was at an altar praying. He was at an altar praying, and he was in great turmoil. And he said, if it's okay with you, let this pass cup from in front of me. But not my will, let it be your will. And so he exchanged his will. The altar is the place where I give permission for God to come into my life. Because there are things that are supposed to die in my life if I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I cannot be a living sacrifice and want to do things my own way. I have to do things God's way. I cannot emerge into everything that God wants me to be and is calling and has purpose for my life without encountering sacrifice. I am going to have to sacrifice. Because even if you're starting a business, guess what you're going to do? You're going to have to sacrifice not spending your money on frivolous things because you want the money to go into the business. If you want to study, you can't just roll up to school and think that everything is, they're just going to give you A's. They're not doing that. They'll give you an E for effort, you know, for turning up. They'll give you an attendance award, but they will not give you an A for passing. You have to put the effort in. You have to earn it. So there's always going to be sacrifice involved, which means I cannot watch TV because I've got to devote that time to studying so that I can attain the thing that I have set out to go for. And the key thing is that the altar or our surrender to the Lord, the level of our surrender to the Lord determines our effectiveness. If we're half-hearted, he's half-hearted. And what I like about the Lord, you see, is that he's very gentle with us. We choose. First of all, we get saved, and we're fully saved. But now, if we're going to go deep in the things of God, do I want to be ankle deep? All right, cool. I'm cool with ankle deep relationship with the Lord. Do I want to be knee deep? Waist deep? Chin deep? Or fully immersed? God is calling us to be fully immersed in his things and in his ways for us to be effective. Amen? Full devotion and surrender is what is required. We don't have a problem, us as human beings, we don't have a problem in desire. We don't have a problem it's called uphill desires. We desire to get to the top, but we've got downhill habits. There are things that habits that we've started in our lives that we desire. I want to start the business. I want to stretch out. I want to do all this. But guess what? We've got downhill habits that take us away from where we want to go. So our problem is not a desire problem. Yeah, who wants more of the Lord? Amen. Everybody wants more of the Lord. That's not the problem. That we, 100%, what we have is a price problem. Are we willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? You want to do something at school, good at sport, whatever it may be. Are you willing to pay the price? So our issue should never be, we don't have a desire problem. We have a price problem. And we need to identify that. Because when the call is made, let us get deeper in the things of the Lord. Well, we all love the Lord. And sometimes it's, you know, we have a, anyway, let me not go there. But we have a price problem. But if we are going to be everything that God wants us to be, we need to be those that are willing to pay the price. You see, before Gideon could go out in his full public ministry, he had to deal with the altar of Baal in his father's house. And Gideon, because he was a man that was fearful, did this at nighttime. But is that a problem? No. Because he did it even though he was scared. And so as you look to emerge, that's like what we call breaking out of the terror barrier. You step out, it's like swimming. There are some people who just, you know, for one, if I go into the ocean, I'm knee deep, water, that's it. That's the extent of the risk I'm willing to take. No more. But guess what? The moment I want to step and get maybe waist deep, there are things, my body starts to react, and all I want to do is to get back to shore, get back to the comfort zone of knee deep. And so all I'm saying is that, yes, as you step out to be everything that God wants you to be, you are going to face some level of trepidation, and that's okay. Even Gideon needed comfort. He needed confirmation from the Lord. Lord, and he tested the Lord, he put out a fleece, and then for one night, and then the next night he put out and said this exact opposite, because all he wanted was confirmation. And so if you imagine a child saying to a child, I want you to fall back, I will catch you. Even though you've told them that I will catch you, just before they really let themselves go, what do? They turn back just to make sure. And so we all need that assurance and that confirmation. And the confirmation that we need is the Word of God. Where we rely on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. As you take the necessary steps, just ask, Lord, God has said, I'm with you. You know, help me along the way. And I just want you to imagine for yourself from where you are now. If you step to become everything that you feel on the inside that the Lord wants you to become, imagine what your life would look like. And I just ask everybody at this moment just to close your eyes and imagine what your there is for you, the things that the Lord is asking of you. What would your life look like? For your family, what would your life look like as a family? If you begin, you know, to intercede for your family, create that altar in your family. What would your family look like? For us as a church, as we emerge into everything that God has called and purposed us to be, imagine what it would look like, the difference that would be making in people's lives, the impact for our community as we engage with our community. Imagine the freedom that would come to people's lives as we step out in faith. The enrichment that would come to our community because of all of us. I see all of us going out of these doors by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, that wherever we go, we are sowing seeds. Because the word says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And the rivers of living water are symbolic of the Holy Spirit, that wherever we go, we're going to the office. Guess what we're doing? We're taking the Spirit of God with us and we're sowing seeds. As we go to the shops, we are sowing seeds. In your business, you're sowing seeds. I need you to understand that, you know, when you go, for others who are teachers here, as you go into the classroom, your immediate reason for being there is to teach people. But I want you to have a different lens that you look at and you say, Lord, what if there's people that I'm sent to minister to? I need you to understand this, is that sometimes it's not about saying, thus saith the Lord. No, there's a unique ways that you communicate love, you communicate affirmation, you build people up, because God will give you the skills to do that. That is serving people. At your job, you've got colleagues. Yes, you're all there to earn a living, but it's bigger than that. It's about when you hear something, you step out, somebody's unwell or somebody's sick. It could just be as simple as cooking a meal. Not saying a lot, but just being about it. I see us going out of these doors as agents of change and bearers of hope, impacting lives and society as we come in, as we go out every Sunday and we come back in. We are coming here to be equipped for the ministry, so that we can go out into whatever ministry God has given you. Our church, C3 Kwinana, will be a place where hope lives, where lives are restored, because hope lives here. And the reason hope lives here is because of you. God has done something in your life, and so you are a testimony of what hope that lives looks like. And all you're doing is to say, Lord, I am a bearer of hope, and that hope lives, and that hope will begin to go and impact other people. But for us to do this, and I just invite everybody to stand. Matthew 28:16-20 says, now then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. It's quite interesting that these guys followed some instructions. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. You know, it's natural. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What Christ eloquently said here is the exact thing that was said in Judges 6 to Gideon. It was says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And the Lord said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites I am sending you. Exact same thing. The Lord is with you. And he says here, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. It's just the different person expressed it. The expression is different. There it's to the one individual saying, this is the assignment that you have. This is the assignment that God has given us as his disciples, as Jesus has given us as his disciples. But for us to fulfill the purpose of God through C3 Kwinana, us as a church family, is going to require all of us, not some of us. because this emphasizes shared responsibility and privilege of being ambassadors of God's love and grace in the world. Each member of our church community has a unique role and contribution to make in fulfilling God's purposes and advancing His kingdom agenda of love, reconciliation, and transformation. As we embrace the call to emerge and to actively engage in loving God, each other, and the community, we are going to become agents of change and bearers of hope in a world that is in desperate need of God's redemptive love, and compassion. And so, Father, this morning we pray, Lord God, for us as your body of C3 Kwinana, that every boy, every girl, every man, and every woman, you have called us out for purpose. And Father, our role is, Father, to seek you about what our purpose is if we're in shore, and that you would guide us, Lord God, that, Lord, we would fulfill the purpose of God whilst we are on this earth, that none of us would die until we fulfill the purpose and will of God for our lives as individuals and as a church. And I pray, Lord God, in 2024, Lord God, we desire more of you, that we would emerge, Father, to become the man and the woman, Lord God, that you have called us to be. And we would become the church that you have called us to be, that we would be agents of change no matter where we go, and that we would be bearers of hope, and that C3 Kwinana, Lord God, would be a place where hope lives, where lives are transformed, where families are restored, relationships are restored, Father, where the captives are set free. But it starts with each and every one of us. And Father, I pray, Lord God, just as you said when Isaiah said, when you said, who will go for us? Let our response be like Isaiah's. Send me, I will go. And church, I believe that God is going to be sending some of you into the business world, some into education, entertainment, into politics. That you will be sent. Just say, Lord, it's just a willingness to say, send me. And so, Father, I thank you for your people. Bless them this day, that you have put destiny and purpose inside their hearts. Let us bring glory to your name in 2024. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week. And see you next week.